It's November, people. On TV, Rick and his budding sociopath son, Coral, are smashing zombie heads. At the movies, Matthew McConaughey is swaggering all over the place, all over a spaceship. And in your ear, me, the femme fatale, is answering your questions about how Hollywood really works. This week, I will answer three listener questions in quick succession. One question is about the Talking Dead. That fan show hosted by that guy who smiles upside down. What's his name? The Ryan Seacrest of nerds. Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
That's Lisa B cutting in. She's the co-host this week. Lisa Jenkins, the co-host of the Nerd Out podcast. Say hello.
Hello. I was scared that you didn't know the name of my boyfriend / nemesis.
What? Oh, that's right. He's a nemesis because he does a competing podcast, but he's no threat because he kind of does it poorly. No, he doesn't. He can be extremely funny, but he smiles upside down and you smile the proper way, so you win.
Thank you.
Yes.
I wouldn't say he does anything poorly, but I appreciate it.
You know, you're right. I'm just saying that because I'm your friend. He's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
He's really good. The One Night in Bangkok episode is my favorite episode ever.
Oh my God. That is the best episode ever.
It's one with Josh Groban.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that episode, people, I do highly recommend it. But then again, don't do that. Listen to the Nerd Out instead.
Yes.
Later on in the show, Lisa Jenkins is here to help me with the most important announcement you will hear this week. It has nothing to do with Ferguson, Missouri. It has nothing to do with North Korea. It has nothing to do with the president's stand on immigration. I have copies to give away of my new book.
Oh my gosh.
And Lisa, whose day job, whose secret identity is that of a social media and marketing whirlwind, is going to tell me what manner of torture I might put you, my listeners, through in order to win a signed copy of that book. Plus, Lisa has a problem that only my listeners can solve. We're going to get to that later in the show. But first, Lisa B., read the first reader question.
Yes, Sarah writes via the feedback module on the Femme Fatale website, "The celebrity guests on Talking Dead seem so odd and random. Are they actually fans of The Walking Dead, or are they there to promote their latest project and are given DVD screeners of the show so they can be part of the discussion? If they are actually fans of The Walking Dead, how are they picked to be a part of Talking Dead?"
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, yeah.
Does the Nerd Out website have a really cool feedback module like mine?
I mean, we have a comment section.
I think I just trumped you. okay. I'm outclassing you right now.
Take it.
All right, I'm going to take it. Now, Anna Gasteyer, John Barrowman, / Conan O'Brien, Sarah Silverman, all have been guests on Talking Dead. None of them are on Walking Dead. Only two of them are funny. I'll let you guess who I'm dissing there. Call it a random blind item. Anyway, the guests on the show are pretty random, and many of them are clearly there to promote something, no matter what you're told. Gasteyer was a recent guest, and she just happens to have a new album that came out at the end of September, and she's doing a lot of live appearances to promote it. She's going to San Antonio, Texas. That's how into promoting this album she is. Okay, so I asked the Walking Dead people who amazingly told me that, yes, all of these people are fans of the show. Now, given that I've covered entertainment for more than a decade, do I believe that answer? Not really. I do not believe that a person who dropped an album a month ago and who is doing tons of live shows really has the time to sit down once a week and watch Coral turning into a sociopath on The Walking Dead. I do not believe that Conan O'Brien has that kind of time either, to be honest. I don't. Does that mean that the publicists are lying to me? You know, it's a good possibility because that's what publicists in general are paid to do, lie. But then again, to be fair, fandom is relative. For example, Gasteyer may like the show but not have seen the latest season. Conan may have read the comic at one point. Barrowman may have seen random episodes of like them. Maybe they just like all the memes out there about Rick and Coral. And does that count as fandom? Not to me, but I don't book the people on the show. So. Oh, and by the way, that's Lisa's boyfriend hosting the show. So you can bet that it's a high quality show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is this guy your boyfriend if he smiles upside down? You deserve better.
He's my boyfriend. I just have a love-hate relationship with him. I think that he's awesome, but like, does he just have to take every nerdy thing for himself?
Does he have to take all the dweeb?
Leave some nerd on the table, Chris.
Damn, son, show some dignity.
Yeah. Like, seriously, they're like, hey, do you want to host a TV show? Yes. Okay.
Do you want to host a podcast? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to take space at Meltdown Comics in the back?
Yes.
Yes. Thanks. Thanks for taking up all the space.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question.
Eva K writes via the Femme Fatale website.
That fancy feedback module. I love that mm-hmm. feedback module. It's a good, admit it, it's an excellent, superior feedback module.
I may not be familiar with the feedback module.
Keep reading.
When an actor slash actress has to get really buff for a movie or do training such as martial arts, weapons training, etc., does the movie studio pay for the personal training or lessons?
Oh, yes. Always. 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 Unless it's a really low budget film, always. To the tunes of tens of thousands of dollars. Either the studio or the production company spearheading the project does that. Almost invariably, yes. In fact, and this is a good time to revisit this issue, just in case we're not we're feeling I don't know, a little benevolent towards celebrities. Let's get you to hate them once again. It's my superpower. When they are working, prepping for a role, in rehearsal, traveling to promote a movie, filming the movie, talking about a movie on TV, stars are paying for very little of the daily things that you and I pay for all the time when we're working. For example, actors do not pay for their lunches, for food at all, because the studio is either paying for a chef or a diet delivery service or craft services. In fact, no one working on the set of a movie pays for food while they're working. Now, that may sound just like a perk or something negotiated by the unions, but here's the fact. When you are working on a set, when you have a set going, time is of the essence, and you do not want like your gaffer and your best boy like lollygagging out at Five Guys, yeah, Chipotle, like, and holding up the whole set after lunch. All right, because that best boy, he does roam. So you keep them on all the set as captive eaters, so that you can just call when lunch is over and everybody's there and no one's stuck in traffic, no one's been hit by a bus. You're coming in on schedule. Now, close. It's expected that when we go to work as a bank teller or an office manager or a debt collector or a contractor, that we are ready to work when we walk in the door. Lisa B., I know that you contact me all the time and say, how do you like these shoes? Do you think I could wear them in meetings? That's because you're responsible for buying your own shoes.
Yes.
Our hair is groomed in styles. Our false eyelashes are not crooked. Our khakis are creased. As Snoop once said, we keep them khakis creased. And that is money that we pay out of our own pockets. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just the way of the world. The contractors working on my yard outside, they buy their own work boots. Stars never pay for any clothes they wear while working. And I'm not just talking about costumes. When they're appearing on Letterman, walking a red carpet for a movie, hosting a screening for an Oscar campaign, sitting on a panel at Comic-Con to promote their movie. Everything they wear, every product on their bodies from top to toe that is public is paid for by somebody else. Always. Always. The food they eat during those jaunts is paid for via a per diem provided by a studio or a production company. Transportation, gas, maintenance on a car. Stars do not pay for that when they are working. Bus pass, no. A car comes and picks them up at the hotel they are not paying for or the rental house they are not paying for and takes them to and from the set or location. Again, this is not just because they're actors. It's because some actors are flakes and you don't want to risk them being late or getting into an accident on the way to your set. But still, it's another thing. Gas money, they do not pay for it. All of those things are things that most of us pay for without even thinking about it. Actors don't pay for. So when you hear that, say, Angelina Jolie charges roughly $10 million for a movie, which she does, she's actually charging a lot more. She's not paying for her car, her clothes, her food, her makeup. Okay? Next question.
May I interject here?
No.
A friend of mine is a manager for actors.
Yes.
And I know from discussing with him that even things like all of these are sort of, when I first learned about this, kind of blew my mind.
Go ahead.
But you can go a step further.
Go ahead.
When you are working on a movie, you have someone else paying for your nanny. You have someone else, such as myself and my day job, you're paying them to manage your social media. You are paying for all of the various support people that you have, and this turns into like an on-set bragging rights situation.
Tell me more.
So the actors will sit around and be like, oh yeah, you know, I got my driver, and they come and they pick me up and my Escalade or whatever it is. And someone's like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah, you know, I have them, they're paying for my nanny because, you know, it's so important for my kid to be able to come and spend an hour with me in the afternoon on set. And, you know, people will sort of one-up each other and they will get angry and go to their manager if somebody else has something better that they didn't think to include.
Why is this manager not one of my sources?
I know. I know.
No, not I know.
He's very close-lipped, except to me.
So you're now my arch enemy, the way that Chris Hardwick is yours.
/ boyfriend. Yes.
I'm feeling a little jelly, feeling it. I'm feeling the green-eyed monster rising up within me. I got to tamp it down. I was like, tamp it down. So, in other words, the production company is paying for all this. I think if I'm correct, you're referring to somebody who's a manager of someone who currently works on television. So, is it a network paying for that?
Yes, most of the anecdotes that I have heard are for a variety of his clients, most of whom are TV people.
What other things are they paying for? Did you get into it? Are they paying for chiropractic massages?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. That's easy. I like all of those sort of, you know, obviously hair and makeup. But then by extension, if you have someone who has to perform some sort of magic on your skin to keep you looking like you're bathing in the blood of virgins, that's important.
Oh, I should also add that doctors. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about like, because they have SAG insurance. No, I'm talking about how when they're on the set, there are on-set medics. So if you need to pop some aspirin, you need that B12 shot, whatever, you ain't paying for that either. You're not even paying a copay.
Yeah, I know from working at festivals that if you are an artist or one of the higher up executives, that things like chiropractic massage, B12 shots, all that sort of thing is readily available.
Oh, and I forgot to say, another true story. Shipping your pet, not paid for by the celebrity. For example, when Orlando Bloom was shooting something in Australia, I forget what it was, something that he did in Australia. Was it Australia? Was it some other foreign land?
Was he shooting his ex-wife?
Oh, see what you did there. Hey-o. There is a service that I've talked about in the past called Pacific Pet Transport that ships animals, does all the paperwork, does all the quarantines, does everything that needs to be done for high-paying clientele, like celebrities. But, so for example, if a star is going to be shooting for two months somewhere, you know, like shooting back-to-back Hobbits and they're gone for like 2-3 months. Uh-huh. They're going to miss their dog. The studio will pay Pacific Pet Transport to ship that dog, take it through quarantine, get its shots, do everything so that the actor doesn't have to be sad and lonely while working. So chances are anything that you pay for during the course of your working life, day or night, stars usually aren't paying for, as long as they're working. When they're not working, they are dead to all those people. That's another thing you should know. Occasionally, a manager will pay for your plastic surgery or something if you're not working, you know, and if you need a little something to make you more marketable. But they are contractors, so when they're not working, they don't get any of that. Oh, except all the free stuff that publicists send them. Forget I said anything. Let's move on.
Yes.
Final question. Go.
Anonymous writes via the Femme Fatale website, the super cool feedback module. I always see paparazzi photos of reality stars in supermarkets carrying their little dogs, but that's illegal. Why do stars get away with this? We know they're not service dogs.
And let me tell you something. Everybody in LA, everybody in LA tries to bring their dog into the supermarket. Everyone. Everyone. And usually when they do, the supermarkets do nothing. This is not a celebrity thing. This is an annoying, entitled, white problem, white tears, annoying LA thing. I actually asked the managers. I got this question. I actually asked the managers of a few supermarkets why this happens. And they told me off the record, yes, dogs are not allowed. But most supermarket workers, at least in the supermarkets I went to in mid-city Los Angeles and West Hollywood, where I've spotted folks like Jeff Goldblum, dogless anyway, the workers are really banned from doing anything about this at a higher level. All the customer has to say, whether it's true or not, is that the dog is a service dog. And they're free to move about the cabin, really. Even if there's no vest or coat or whatever that cute little thing is on those dogs that indicates a service dog, you as a dog owner can just say the magic words, service dog, and no one will touch you, at least at the stores I went to. It's an unwritten rule.
I think it is actually the law that when somebody tells you, it's kind of like a person that has a handicap of some kind.
Yeah. But don't the dogs have to be marked as service dogs?
The dogs are supposed to, but I have heard from people who have normal dogs that they are trying to get as service dogs because, and there is no more annoying person in the world than that, that like technically they don't really have to worry about a vest because if somebody asks what the dog is for, you can say it's a service or I think a comfort dog.
And you can do that without a label and get away with it?
Yes, because like they don't, you know, the dog might be there. Like a comfort dog, I think, is for like people who have debilitating social anxiety and things like that.
Right, but they still have to be classified as that kind of a dog, right?
Girl, I'm just saying that apparently it's like the same way that you're not allowed to be like, oh, you're handicapped. What's wrong with you?
So there may be a law involved.
Yeah, it's some sort of protecting people's, I don't know, right to privacy.
Local statute, state statute.
I don't know.
See, this is why you need me.
I'm
still useful.
I have been to the Nordstrom at the Grove, which it makes me cringe watching people take dogs on escalators. Is that just me?
I think it's like, just you. They're smart enough. They can figure out the up and they can figure it out. They're smart.
But what if their fur or their tail or something gets caught in it? Okay, maybe it's just me. Yeah. But I was at Nordstrom and there were people there with their dogs and the dogs got into a fight in the shoe department. That was really great. Like a full-on dog fight.
Really?
Yep.
That's civilized.
Keep it classy.
Keep it classy, Los Angeles. And speaking of classy, now we move on to me. My book. And Lisa's need of your help. All right. First, Lisa's going to earn her keep and then she's going to get to ask you guys a favor. Right? Mm-hmm. So my new book is out, The Celebrity Playbook, it's called. It's actually the second edition of the A-List Playbook. If you haven't gotten my book, this is basically what this book is. It's nonfiction. It is a compendium of all my deepest, dirtiest knowledge about how stars really live and the stuff they don't want you to know. If you've ever wondered whether stars are just like us, the answer is absolutely frickin' not. Their lives are completely different from ours. And not just because of the reasons I was telling you earlier at the show where they don't pay for anything. The amount, the scope of privilege that stars get in this country indicate that we fought a revolution in the 1700s for nothing. Mm-hmm. They get away with not going to jury service. They get away with not paying for their weddings. They get away with a lot of things. And if you want to know exactly how they live, for example, even something like moving houses, the movers are different when you're one of them, they're celebrities. So if you want a copy of my book and you want to know all the dirty little secrets about how stars really live, It is called The Celebrity Playbook. It is available now on Amazon. I encourage you to pick it up. But at the same time, I'm going to be giving away copies, and you can only get those giveaways here on this podcast through this holiday season. It's my Christmas gift to you. And of course, I will personally sign it for you before sending it to you. Now, Lisa is a social media maven. She has an idea for what kind of torture I should put you people through in exchange for one of you winning a copy of my book every so often. Lisa, what have you come up with?
I don't know that I have an idea, but I'm going to come up with one really quickly. however, I have put my professional hat on for a moment. Is Amazon the best place for people to purchase the Celebrity Playbook?
I believe so.
Okay. If somebody is interested in purchasing a book that is signed by you, will you be selling those through your website?
Oh, I could. You mean like I could do that? Well, no. Yes. This is the problem. I only have a small number of these books that I got as complimentaries. All right, I'd say like eight of them.
Ain't nobody getting a book for free.
Nobody's getting a book for free.
I mean, unless you're giving it away as a gift, or as a prize.
It's a prize.
I'm just saying, and perhaps your fans can speak.
Okay.
But like, I personally would want to buy a book that was signed by you. And so maybe like they could email you or contact you with your information, which we're going to get to in a couple minutes.
Yes.
And they could be like, hey, how do I get a signed copy of the book? And you can figure out a way to do that.
So you're saying I shouldn't be giving any of them away?
Oh, no, you absolutely should. I feel like your fans deserve that.
I think so, too. You know what? What I might do is let's reserve four. Four.
Okay.
Signed books for my fans as a giveaway.
Okay.
And if I'm feeling benevolent, I'll do more. If not, I'll sell them. Now, what should they do to get this book? I'm thinking that they should ask me a question because that's where my bread and butter is.
I think
asking
the
questions about how Hollywood works.
I think that they should ask you a question on your Facebook page.
All right. That's a great idea. So, and let me ask you this as a social media person, is Facebook the best way to reach out to me versus Twitter or Instagram or anything else?
No, I think that Twitter is also a very good place to reach out. But if somebody has a long question, Twitter will be a little bit more challenging.
All right. So you know what? Let's limit it to Facebook then.
Okay.
All right.
So you will go to the Femme Fatale on Facebook.
Okay.
You can search for it in the window at the top of the Facebook page, assuming you are not already a fan, which you should be.
Oh, yeah.
And then you will like the page. So that way Leslie here can contact you back if you are a winner. And you will post a question on her page. And now the big question is about the question.
Yes.
Maybe like, which celebrity privilege would you most like to have in your own life?
Ooh, but they don't know what the privileges are because they haven't read the book.
That's a good point.
You know, but let me see if we can think of it this way. The book goes through everything like parenting or not parenting your kids, you know, standing in line at the DMV, which they don't do, everything. So the question is, what? Maybe they need to ask me a question about like, is this so-and-so thing the same when you're a celebrity?
Oh, that's a good thing.
All right.
Yeah.
So pick something out of your daily life. Buying underwear.
Is blank the same when you are a celebrity?
I mean, is that too complicated for these people?
I think they're smart.
Yeah, I think your guys are pretty smart. So for example, yeah. Is getting married the same when you're a celebrity? Is going to the eye doctor the same when you're a celebrity? Is cooking dinner the same when you're a celebrity? Is buying a car the same?
Having your appendix out.
Having your appendix out. Anything at all. Colonoscopy. Is it the same when you're a celebrity? And is getting arrested the same when you're a celebrity? Think broadly.
Is going out getting drunk, getting turned up at the club and making out with somebody the same when you're a celebrity?
Is getting stone cold, tore up at the club the same when you're a celebrity? Is, you know, your cocaine connection the same when you're a celebrity? Anything at all. You are to go to my Facebook page, do what Lisa says. And every podcast, for the next four podcasts, I will be announcing a winner. as well as answering the question. Yes. Now, Lisa, you've earned your pay. So this is what Lisa's going to do now. Lisa needs some help. Go just very quickly now because we're running out of time. Go ahead.
I am trying to find a new television show to completely immerse myself in and be obsessed with. I am a big Game of Thrones fan, Battlestar Galactica. What else do I like? The Walking Dead, Fringe.
So Hannibal.
Hannibal, something with like a, you know, kind of like a fantastic or potentially horror or kind of left of center. Like, don't give me The Good Wife. Don't give me Scandal. Give me something interesting. And I need something new to really sink my teeth into.
So mostly you want genre. You want fantasy, science fiction, something like that.
Yeah, horror, scary,
spy thriller.
Yeah, I'd take that.
All right. I gave you some recommendations, but I'm going to repeat them publicly for the listeners. I suggested as a guilty pleasure, Penny Dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
That skinny girl from France. What's her name? Eva Green. She's fantastic. She tears it up.
Okay.
She brings it. All right. Plus, I'll just leave it at that. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm also recommending Carnival, which only lasted for one or two seasons on HBO, but it's still available on HBO Go. It died too young. It's fantastic. Oh, God, it was fantastic. Even the opening credits will blow your mind. And currently, the husband and I are watching The Americans.
Okay.
You know what that's about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I that's a pretty addictive show. We tried my husband and I, we like it. We're addicted to it. So we like it. The only other thing I'm going to say is America loves The Blacklist. The olds love The Blacklist. My dad loves The Blacklist. I am not a fan of The Blacklist. I think it's silly. And I don't think that James Spader actually is bringing it.
I do not think that it's very good. I don't enjoy it. And it annoys me.
Good. Then we are on the same page as that. If you have a recommendation for Lisa B. Jenkins, how should they get in touch with you, Lisa?
You know, why don't you go and post on the Nerd Out's Facebook page? Again, for those of you who have never used Facebook, you will go to facebook.com. There is a window up at the top where you can type words in. You put the Nerd Out up there. You'll find me and my page. And if you post there, we'll give you shout outs on our show.
And of course, you'll tell me so that I can then
give them a pat on the head.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And remember who sent you. Remember who took you to the dance, Lisa. All I'm saying. Yes. I think that's it. This has been another edition of my show. It is time to wrap up. How can people reach me? Should I make you do that or should I just do it? I'll just do it.
I can do it.
Oh, you go ahead.
You can find Leslie and the Femme Fatale at thefemmefatale.com. That's all one word. In case you've never typed in a URL either. You can
Are they from the frickin' Civil War?
You can tweet her at Femme Fatale Says. And you can also email her, Leslie@thefemmefatale.com.
Thank you so much. And of course, listen to The Nerd Out. The Nerd Out, is it thenerdout.com?
Thenerdout.com. We should have a new episode up in the next week.
Excellent. That's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.